And happy to have Mark Feinsand to do it with us. Of course, you know Mark from MLB.com, executive producer, MLB Network insider, but also Mission 27, which is out and doing well. The story of the 2009 Yankees and going for championship number 27, which we all know they were able to achieve. And by the way, it was their last one. Mark, Chris in New York, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on. It's nice of you. We thank you for it. And kind of crazy. You know, you've covered this game for a long time. And Mickey Callaway getting into it today with reporter Tim Healy of Newsday after the disappointing loss by the Mets, who obviously are under pressure with the record that they have right now and all that's going on in the National League East, where two other teams have underachieved in the Nationals and Phillies. So Met fans expecting a little bit more. What's your overall take when you see a manager get into it with a reporter?
I was at the boring game today in the Bronx.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Well, that thing came and went.
Know,
yeah,
it's a bad look. It's a bad look for Mickey. It's a bad look for Jason Vargas to confront a reporter. It just shows that obviously there's a lot bubbling under the surface in that clubhouse. Mickey may be feeling some pressure. You know, the one thing I've always said about managers and coaches in New York, you have to have a thick skin. It's part of the job. And you know, Mickey obviously didn't like or appreciate the way the questioning went and the repeated questioning about Diaz and why he wasn't in the eighth inning. But you have to just let it go. You can't confront a reporter about it after the game if there was nothing out of line by the reporter. I've only seen in my years covering baseball in New York, I've only seen one sort of altercation. Is probably too strong a word. You know, Joe Girardi and Joel Sherman went at it once, but it was done quickly, and it did not escalate to the point of what it sounds like it escalated there today. You know, like I said, it's just a bad look for Mickey overall.
And in general, you know, the Mets obviously risked being in New York and then taking a first-time general manager and a first-time coach, and the coach before the GM, or first-time manager, I should say, and then a first-time general manager, and they took the manager before they took the general manager. So they were entering risky water here, especially being in New York City, and, you know, you wonder if that was ever wise.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, this is Mickey's second season. He's been through a year of disappointment in New York. He knows the deal. It's not like this came at him out of nowhere. And, you know, from the sounds of the eyewitness accounts, this all sort of sparked with Tim saying, see you tomorrow. And, you know, apparently not in any sort of a facetious way. And obviously Mickey's a little tight and a little, you know, on edge right now. And it doesn't bode well for him in the long term, because if you're going to let this get to you to the extent where you're snapping at people like that, it's just not beneficial for him. You know, the player coming to his defense, you know, that's good that the players are backing them up, but, you know, players shouldn't know better too. These guys have been around a long time. Jason Vargas is not a rookie. So it's just a bad situation for the Mets right now.
Yeah, Mike Puma of the Post, we just had on, and he witnessed it, and he speculated, and he admitted it was speculation, that it was almost a cry for help, that you know, Mickey's not having any fun and a lot of the strings are being pulled for him, and maybe we use the term relieved of his duties. If in fact it happened, he'd almost be relieved to be out.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I mean, I won't claim to know Mickey well enough to be able to dive inside his mind. But you know, the fact of the matter of being a manager in 2019 and going forward is the front office is going to have a lot of say in what you do, in the lineups you put out there, in the way you use certain players. And if you're not on board with that, if you want it to be old school where, you know, the manager has the final say in these things, maybe you should go manage in Japan or something, because I just don't think in the big leagues right now that's a realistic approach to take as a manager. So if that's what's bothering him, if he's not having fun because he feels like he's not being given enough control, I have bad news for him, because I don't think that's going to change, and not only with him, but with, you know, with managers around the entire majors.
Yeah, you kind of have to realize that in that position, you're going to be blamed for some things that you did not participate in, decisions you did not participate in, and you can't reveal the fact that you didn't participate in them. So that's tough. Let's get to the Yanks, because that's the original reason I wanted to talk to you anyway, but a story like this will be eating up the papers tomorrow and the airwaves tomorrow, that's for sure. Old Timers Day, you enjoy it as a reporter?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This was the first Old Timers Day that I've been at since, I think, 2006.
Wow.
It's just, you know, when you're traveling on the beach full time, you know, the home weekends are were my time to be with my family. So
yep.
I took the weekends off generally when they were home. So it was fun to be back there, and it was interesting to be back there this year because there were probably 15-plus players on the old-timer roster that I covered during their active days.
Yeah, so, you're old, Mark. You're old.
It made me feel kind of old today.
You're old, Mark. You're old.
But it was nice to catch up with guys like Jason Giambi and Johnny Damon. And, you know, the fact that these guys are old-timers now is a little eye-opening. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about the 2009 team, some of the guys who were part of that team that contributed to our book. You know, they were talking about that a lot. And, you know, it's a fun day. These guys like being around each other. They tell a lot of old stories. Every one of them says that being in the clubhouse is by far the most fun part of the day for them. They're all, you know, hanging out in a clubhouse like they used to with guys they were teammates with guys that, you know, a lot of them who were old-timers when they were playing here. And, you know, then you get to see Mariano Rivera hit it inside the park home run. And, you know, when do we ever think we'd see that in our lifetime?
No, it's funny, too, and you know this well, and I do from my years being on the road with teams and talking to players after they retire. They miss being together in that environment more than they miss the actual executing of whatever they did on the field, ice, court, wherever. It's the time with the boys that they miss the most after they retire.
No question. Look, they all understand that they know the grind that goes into a baseball season, what it takes to keep your body ready every day, the travel, getting on a plane every 3 or 6 days, and, you know, they don't miss that. They like being home with their families. They like seeing their kids grow up and doing what they do at home, but this is a great event for them to get out there and, you know, get a little taste of what their life was for such a long time, and they get out there, and most of them can't play. My favorite thing the entire day was the lineup card that hung in the dugout. They had the starting lineups, they had the guys who were on the bench, and then under pitchers available, it just said in big letters, anybody who can throw 60 feet.
Yeah, there was a few examples of that. Hey, this Yankee team is really something, and the lineup is really something, and you know, you kind of marvel at it a little bit in trying to get through it. What are your thoughts? And give me your opinion, a lot of panic about the starting pitching and how it translates into October baseball. But Brian Cashman, who's proven to be pretty good, has 5.5 weeks to try and fix that. What are your thoughts about how he's approaching it, and what are your thoughts about this lineup?
I think you put it very well to your last caller by saying they don't have their roster yet. You don't know what this team is going into August, September, and, you know, theoretically and hopefully for them, October. You know what the lineup's going to look like. I like the Encarnacion pickup. It was another big bat in a lineup that didn't necessarily need it, but, you know, when you have a great offense, why not add another good bat to it? So, yeah, I understand the starting pitching concern. I think there is concern, and there should be some concern. You've got some fragile guys there. Paxton has an injury history and has never thrown 170 innings in a season. The bat who's got his knee. You know, I think we're past the Tanaka elbow thing, but I guess just when you get comfortable with that is when it'll pop up again. You know, Herman's going to be on an innings limit, and Hap has been, you know, average. And I know people are killing him today, and rightfully so for what he did today. He was awful today, and he was the first one to admit that he was awful today. But he's been a league average pitcher. I mean, coming into today, he had a 4.5 ERA, and the American League starting pitching average is a 4.5 ERA. He's been a prototypical number four, number five starter. The problem is he's making $17 million a year, and people expect more from him. Would I trust him in a big playoff game? Not right now, I wouldn't. But if you remember the guy who pitched down the stretch for the Yankees last year, he was great, and he still choked it up in the playoffs. So anything can happen, but I do expect him to add at least one starting pitcher here between now and July 31st. I know everybody's getting all hot and heavy over the concept of Max Scherzer. I don't think the Nationals are trading Max Scherzer. Bumgarner will be traded, but, you know, the people I've spoken to at the Yankees are not overwhelmed by him to the point where they're prepared to give up what San Francisco is going to want for him. So could it be a Marcus Stroman? Maybe. I don't know who else yet is going to be available because we don't know which teams are ultimately going to be sellers. There's, I think, 22 teams within five games of a playoff spot right now. So it may take until July 20th for 10 of those teams or 8 of those teams to decide, you know what, this isn't going to happen, we should sell. But the Yankees will have another arm here at some point for their rotation. We just don't know who it's going to be yet.
Yeah, and the Yankee fan, Mark, as you know, Mark Feinstein joining us, is looking at October. They're a spoiled group. They're used to success. They know what that lineup looks like. I don't think they have a tremendous amount of respect for their opponents outside of Houston and Boston. They might buy into Tampa a little bit, buy into Minnesota a little bit, but they clearly think they're going to be playing October baseball. So every criticism that I get of the Yankees is, we can't have this in October. Is there a chance in your mind that they will go with an opener in October if they don't get what they want by the deadline?
I don't think so. You know, there are two big wild cards in this for them. Luis Severino and Dellin Betances. And I think if you have Betances and add him to this bullpen group, you probably could get away with an opener. You could go with two innings of Chad Green, and then just, you know, with the off days that are built in, you could unload your bullpen. To me, Severino is the key to the whole thing. If he comes back and he's 90% of what he's been the past few years, that's an enormous addition to that pitching staff. If he comes back and he's 50% of what he's been the last couple of years, that's not going to do much for them. So the biggest problem is, I don't know that they're going to have the answer to that much before July 31st. So Brian Cashman's going to have to kind of take the approach of not being able to rely on him. And if it turns out that he's great when he comes back, then that's a bonus. I think the Yankee fans should be expecting to play October baseball. I think the Yankees are a playoff team. The problem is that, you know, Houston is really good. And in a short series, you know, they took 3 of 4 this weekend, and it was the three games that were not started by Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole. They're going to see those guys 4, maybe 5 times in a seven-game series.
And so, that is where that legitimate fear comes from. Yeah, that's where the...
As well it should.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Minnesota. If they go out and get a starting pitcher, let's say they decide to go get Madison Bumgarner, if they get a big starting pitcher and they can add a reliever, and I think they can, that's going to be a really dangerous team. That offense is really good. You may not have heard of a lot of guys in that team. They're all very good baseball players. So I think the AL is very top-heavy and is going to set up for a very entertaining postseason one way or another.
And I sort of feel like Brian Cashman will overpay if he has to. Do you?
He might. I think, you know, Hal Steinbrenner said last week that he's willing to blow past that second luxury tax threshold if it's the right move. And, you know, to me, I read between the lines there and say that's Max Scherzer. That's who they would blow past that number for, because they'd have him for 2.5 years, and he's, you know, arguably the best pitcher in baseball. And if you add him to that team, you know, then you've got your Verlander down the stretch. I think they'll add. Cashman is always very stealth this time of year. Most of the trades he makes are the trades that nobody's even talking about, because those are the ones that are being kept very close to the vest. So I would imagine that Brian is already working phones. And, you know, usually once the draft passes, which was about 2 weeks ago, that's when the trade talks really intensify. Front offices can focus on that rather than the draft. So I would imagine that Brian's cell phone has been quite busy.
Gut feeling of tomorrow's main topic, Mickey Callaway, the manager of the Mets next Saturday?
I'll say yes, but not with a whole lot of confidence.
Fair enough. Mark, good conversation as always. Congratulations on the book. I know it's doing well, and it should be. It's a good read, so I appreciate it, and I'm glad that it's worked out as well for you as you thought it would. So congrats on that, and have a good week.
Thanks, Chris. Always good to talk to you.